Hi, welcome back to Joe Blogs. This video is an update on the situation with regards to the FTX collapse. In today's video, I'll give you an update on what's been going on with regards to Sam Bankman-Fried's court case. He's now submitted his plea and the date has been set for the actual trial. We'll talk about some allegations that Sam Bankman-Fried has managed to do some trading on some Alameda Research blockchain accounts. It's reported that he's taken up to $684,000 out of those accounts. So we'll have a look into those allegations. We'll also talk about an alleged hack that was undertaken on the FTX accounts around the time that it went into Chapter 11 bankruptcy, under which around $600,000 disappeared. I'll then give you an update on what's going on with regards to the asset recovery for FTX. John Ray and the Bahamas authorities have fallen out in terms of the amount that they've actually recovered, and the difference is quite large. It's around $3 billion, so we'll have a look into what's going on with that. We'll then talk about a tug of war on some disputed assets between FTX, BlockFi and Silvergate, the crypto bank. We'll then have a look at what happened with Silvergate recently, because as a result of the FTX collapse, there was a run on some of their accounts. A lot of people wanted to withdraw their money, and that caused the bank to have serious liquidity problems. And then finally today, I'll wrap up with my summary. So what I think is likely to happen over the course of the next few months with regards to the FTX bankruptcy, and what the implications of this are ongoing for the crypto markets. So before we get started on all of that, if I could ask you to give me a thumbs up at some point during this video, if you're enjoying the content, please subscribe if you haven't done so already. Don't forget, I always include chapters. And if you'd like to support the channel, please have a look below where you can find links to YouTube, super thanks and membership, as well as Buy Me a Coffee, Patreon and Amazon shopping links. Sam Bankman-Fried was originally arrested on December the 12th in the Bahamas. And following a negotiated extradition, he was moved to the USA and officially charged with 8 counts of fraud on December the 22nd. And at that hearing, it was agreed that he could be released on bail of $250 million, providing that he was fitted with an electronic tag and agreed to stay at his mother and father's house. After spending the Christmas and New Year period on house arrest at his parents' home, Sam Bankman-Fried has now appeared at a Manhattan court and submitted a plea of not guilty to the 8 charges of fraud. Now, this plea of not guilty is despite the fact that Caroline Ellison, his former girlfriend and the chief executive of Alameda Research, and Gary Wang, who was one of the co-founders of FTX alongside Sam Bankman-Fried, have both pleaded guilty to all of their charges. However, experienced defense lawyer Jeffrey Lichtman stated he has to plead guilty in his first appearance in front of a district court judge. It's clear that the government is not going to be using him to cooperate against them, so he's clearly working on something else. Why else would the government consent to a bail package for public enemy number one? So what this indicates is that Sam Bankman-Fried is working on some form of deal, trying to negotiate some form of package by providing more information to the authorities so that they can potentially then extend out all of their investigations and maybe charge a lot more people with regards to what's happened at FTX. Now, as I mentioned earlier, the terms of the bail that has been agreed by the court require a bail bond of $250 million. So this means that in the event that he disappears, the court could seize those assets and keep all of that cash. Now, so far, no details have been released as to who signed that bond. We know that his parents, Joseph Bankman and Barbara Fried, were party to it, but they don't have assets equating to that amount of cash. And it's now come to light that 2 co-guarantors with significant means have signed that agreement. And the request was submitted to the court alongside Bankman-Fried's not guilty plea that the identity of those 2 co-guarantors, who are incredibly wealthy individuals, is kept secret. And the reason for this is that Sam Bankman-Fried claims that he's now received a number of personal threats and therefore he doesn't want the identity disclosed in order to protect these individuals. Now, it may well be the case that we never get to find out who these people are, but I think it would be really fascinating to know who stumped up $250 million to get this guy to be able to stay at home for the next 10 months or so. Now, as part of the extended bail agreement, the judge specifically made the point that Sam Bankman-Fried is not to have any access to Alameda Research or FTX accounts, nor is he to do any trading above $1,000. And this really brings us on to the next part of this story, the allegation that Sam Bankman-Fried has undertaken some trading and moved some crypto assets out of the Alameda Research accounts. A number of messages have been posted onto Twitter claiming that Sam Bankman-Fried moved $684,000 worth of cryptocurrency out of Alameda Research accounts to private addresses. The accusations made by Twitter user BowtieDLGuana state that after Sam Bankman-Fried was released, his wallet sent all its remaining crypto tokens to a new Ethereum address created an hour earlier. In 3 hours, over 100 new deposits were made to this wallet from various addresses, most having links to Sam Bankman-Fried's defunct hedge fund, Alameda Research. In less than 4 hours, 570 ETH, worth approximately $684,000, was transferred out of this wallet to various destinations. The funds were sent to an exchange based in the Seychelles and to the Bitcoin network via a bridge funded by Alameda. The user went on to state that as the Ethereum blockchain is an immutable public ledger, this on-chain evidence is permanently available to law enforcement and the courts. They also went on to say rather amusingly that as I'm a cartoon lizard, can somebody else please email them? Full details of the actual wallets used in these transactions were provided and state that all the ETH was sent from Sam Bankman-Fried's public wallet to the newly created address, which is listed here, which within hours received transfers totaling $367,000 from 32 known Alameda Research wallets, plus $322,000 from other wallets, all sent to a Seychelles Central Exchange or Bitcoin Bridge. The user also claims that a further $1 million was sent from 11 wallets labelled as Alameda Research, and 5 separate transactions of 51 Ether were used to move funds to newly created wallets, then onward to a Seychelles-based exchange. And finally, it claims that 3 tranches of 200,000 USDT were also sent from the Sam Bankman-Fried wallet to the Fix Float exchange. So I think the interesting thing about these accusations is the level of detail that's provided. We've got specific information which details exactly where that cash has moved to. So this will be something that's possible to investigate, and it'll be interesting to see what the outcome of those investigations is. But of course, the only reason that anyone can identify where this money is moving from and to is because the details of the Alameda Research accounts are in the public domain. If Sam Bankman-Fried was smart, obviously he would be using accounts that are not publicly available, and therefore it would be very difficult for anybody to actually track down the identity of where the money's coming from or where the money's going to. And I guess that's the beauty of the blockchain. On one side, everything is recorded as public record, so therefore it's traceable. But on the other side, if you don't know where any of those accounts relate to, who the actual owners are, then it's very difficult to identify where money's moving from and where it's ending up. Now, alongside the recent accusations that Sam Bankman-Fried has moved assets that were related to the Alameda Research accounts, it's also been claimed that around the time of the Chapter 11 bankruptcy, $600 million was taken out of the FTX accounts as a result of a hack. It's claimed that more than $600 million was siphoned from FTX's crypto wallets on Friday the 11th of November, and that this was confirmed when FTX stated in its official Telegram channel that it had been compromised and instructed users not to install any new upgrades and to delete all FTX apps. That statement read, FTX has been hacked. FTX apps are malware. Delete them. Chat is open. Don't go onto the FTX site as it might download Trojans. Hours later, FTX's general counsel disclosed in a tweet that FTX US and FTX.com had been moving all their digital assets to cold storage because of the Chapter 11 bankruptcy. At that time, many FTX wallet holders reported zero balances in their FTX.com and FTXX wallets. And on Twitter, members of the cryptocurrency community speculated that the outflows could have been coordinated by a member of Sam Bankman-Fried's inner circle, pointing out that the simultaneous and sophisticated hacks of FTX and FTX US were indicative of a potential inside job. Now, in terms of the scramble to try to recover some of the assets that FTX actually held, there's a tug of war going on right now about 56 million Robinhood shares. Now, Robinhood, if you're not aware, is an online share and crypto trading platform which launched onto the public markets in August 21 at a share price of $38 and was a roaring success for a period of time, with the share price rising to $55, giving the business at that time a market cap close to $50 billion. However, unfortunately, the share price of Robinhood has collapsed and is now trading at around $8. Now, as you'll be aware if you've been following this story, Sam Bankman-Fried was using a lot of cash to invest into lots of different businesses that were all related to crypto. And back in May 2022, Sam Bankman-Fried took a 7.6% stake in Robinhood, valued at that time at $648 million. Now, the current value of those shares is around $465 million. But the ownership structure is what's causing the tug of war, because a number of different parties are now saying that they are entitled to seize the ownership of those shares, sell them and realise the cash. And the parties that are fighting over the ownership of these shares are Sam Bankman-Fried himself. He claims that he owns all of these shares and that therefore he's entitled to the money. The US Department of Justice, the bankruptcy proceedings for FTX, and the BlockFi bankruptcy proceedings, because they claim that they also have a claim on these shares. The US Department of Justice does not believe that the 56 million shares of Robinhood are the rightful property of the bankruptcy estate of FTX. Sam Bankman-Fried purchased around 7.5% of Robinhood's stock through Emergent Fidelity Technologies Limited, using borrowed funds from Alameda Research, according to an affidavit he filed in December in an Antigua court. Bankman-Fried said that he owned 90% of Emergent and that Gary Wang, one of his co-founders of FTX, owned the other 10%. James Bromley, who's an attorney acting for FTX, has stated that none of the assets targeted are currently in direct control of any of the FTX entities in Chapter 11, and said that the Robinhood shares were subject to litigation and it was an open question about who owns them. The stock is also being claimed by BlockFi, another bankrupt crypto firm, as well as liquidators of Emergent, which is in insolvency proceedings in Antigua, where it was incorporated. BlockFi is suing Emergent in a bid to seize the Robinhood stock, which was pledged by Alameda as collateral to guarantee repayment of a loan made by BlockFi. 2 days after the pledge, Alameda filed for bankruptcy along with FTX. So what's coming to light here is that this situation is a complete mess. And if you've been following the story, I'm sure you won't be surprised that there's no formal documentation in place which clearly shows who has ownership of these shares. It looks like these shares have been bandied around and used for multiple purposes. And now everybody is claiming that they're legally entitled to this. And it'll be really interesting to see exactly who ends up taking this cash. Now, in addition to the Robinhood shares, FTX also had cash on account at Silvergate Bank, and this is now causing major problems for Silvergate. Catherine Parker, a federal magistrate judge in New York, ordered the seizure of accounts held at Silvergate Bank, according to a filing on January the 4th, which estimates that the total amount of the holdings were in the region of $93 million. However, this amount is a drop in the ocean compared to the $8.1 billion worth of withdrawals that Silvergate has seen since FTX entered Chapter 11 bankruptcy. The collapse of FTX sparked a run on Silvergate Capital, forcing the bank to sell assets at a steep loss to cover $8.1 billion of withdrawals. Crypto-related deposits plunged 68% in the fourth quarter, the bank said in an early release of some quarterly results. To satisfy withdrawals, Silvergate liquidated debt it was holding on its balance sheet and lost $718 million in those sales, which far exceeds the bank's total profits that it's earned since it was created in 2013. And this comes at a disastrous time for Silvergate, which has laid off 40% of its staff, or around 200 employees, and said it is now having to pare back its business. It shelved the plan to launch its own digital currency, writing off $196 million it spent buying the technology that Facebook had built in its failed attempt to start a crypto-based payments network. So once again here, we can see that the crypto contagion is spreading all across the market, and big institutions like Silvergate are really being rocked by what's happened. Now, in terms of actually calculating the amount of assets that the FTX bankruptcy has actually collected so far, there seems to be a huge discrepancy between the numbers that John Ray is reporting in the USA and the Bahamas authorities are reporting in the Bahamas. In a recent media release, the Securities Commission of the Bahamas stated that on the 12th of November, the commission, in the exercise of its powers as regulator, acting under the authority of an order made by the Supreme Court of the Bahamas, took the action of directing the transfer of all digital assets of under the custody or control of FTXDM or its principals, valued at more than $3.5 billion based on market pricing at the time of transfer, to digital wallets controlled by the commission for safekeeping, While certain token protocols may require the burning of old tokens and the simultaneous minting of new replacement tokens to effect transfer, in no case did the process involve the creation of any additional tokens. The release went on to state that the digital assets transferred on the 12th of November 22 to digital wallets under the exclusive control of the Commission are being held by the Commission on a temporary basis, until such time as the Bahamas Supreme Court directs the Commission to deliver them to the customers and creditors who own them, or to the JPLs to be administered under rules governing the insolvency estate for the benefit of the customers and creditors of FTXDM. So that press release is very clear. The assets have been recovered, they're now sitting in a secured account, and they're valued at around $3.5 billion. However, John Ray and his team are claiming that the only assets that have been recovered so far equate to $296 million. So that represents a discrepancy of over $3 billion. Now, no explanation has been put forward as to how this discrepancy has arisen. So it will be fascinating to see what happens over the course of the next few weeks. And we'll see from the next filing that John Ray submits whether or not he's adjusted his figures to include this $3.5 billion or not. So what's the summary and conclusion today? Well, I wanted to post this video really to provide you with a live update as to what's going on with the FTX situation, because we're now in a holding pattern. We're waiting for this court case to start. And the case has now been set to start on the 2nd of October. So that's when we'll get the really juicy information. But I'm sure between now and then, there will be lots more information that starts to break. And in today's video, I wanted to share with you the fact that Sam Bankman-Fried is back out on bail, that he's got some guarantors that nobody knows who they are, but they've got anonymity, so we'll probably never find out. And also the fact that there are now allegations that Sam Bankman-Fried has been undertaking crypto trading over the course of the last month or so, and that there was a potential large hack that was undertaken at the time when the company was being put into Chapter 11 bankruptcy. In addition to those allegations, the collection of the assets that FTX actually held is proving to be very difficult. Firstly, we've got many, many people who are claiming ownership of all of these assets. So the Robinhood shares that we talked about earlier are a great example. Sam Bankman-Fried claims they're his. The Department of Justice wants them. The FTX bankruptcy people are after them. The BlockFi bankruptcy guys would like them. And the Emergent bankruptcy proceedings are also trying to claim those shares. So it'll be interesting to see who actually gets their hands on that capital. And in keeping with the way that FTX was run, the bankruptcy also seems to be quite problematic, with John Ray and the Bahamas authorities seeming to have difficulty agreeing how much capital has actually been recovered so far. But the knock-on impact of the FTX failure is still causing major issues in the crypto markets, and the situation for Silvergate is critical right now. They've had a run on all of their assets. They're struggling to be able to cover that. They're making huge losses. They're having to lay off people. And it will be interesting to see whether or not Silvergate can survive all of these body blows. So I'll keep you posted as soon as there's any further news and developments on this story. If you've liked what I've said today, if you thought it was interesting, informative, and thought-provoking, then please give me a thumbs up. And thank you for watching this video all the way through to the end.